Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing. Episode 14 on moderation and microbes. And quinoa. Well, we've gotten the wood, oak and pine, split and stacked, about 6 cords. Hey, it's the foothills and we rely on our wood stove all winter long to heat the house. Momo the kitten has caught 2 mice, and she and Oso dog are working on their relationship. The chickens are slowing down. I mean, it is November, but we're still getting 4 eggs a day. My old stomach and intestinal woes are acting up a little bit. Life in a dying democracy is stressful. So episode 14 is dedicated to my gut. One summer, about 12 years ago, when my digestive woes got bad again and I got tired of doctors shrugging sympathetically and telling me I just had a sensitive gut, I went to an alternative medicine practitioner, an orthomolecular nutritionist named Bob. Microbes, Bob said, and put me on a rigorous program. For 8 weeks, without cheating once, I starved my microbes. I ate only low-acid foods and took fistfuls of supplements. I eliminated fruit, dairy, sugar, red meat, wheat, rice, and any grains other than quinoa, millet, and amaranth. I ate carefully cleaned organic vegetables, no tomatoes or avocados, no salt, and no heated oils. I soaked my raw almonds for 24 hours, and I ate boiled chicken, fish, or eggs only every other day. I ordered expensive aloe vera supplements from a shady Florida-based company with typos on their website. I swallowed fish oil, enzymes, probiotics, chlorella, and pills derived from mangosteen. I held colloidal silver solution in my mouth, 1 teaspoon before bed for 5 minutes, and then I spat it out. I drank only water balanced to 9.5 pH. For a while, I was allowed only 1 teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil a day sprinkled on my food. Then Bob cut it to 1/2 teaspoon. Then none. Instead, 1/2 teaspoon of flaxseed oil, which made me shudder. 8 weeks. In my garden, the tomatoes, green peppers, plums, apples ripened. I wasn't a complete stranger to this kind of regimen. I'm at least a third-generation health nut, if only intermittently so. In the 70s, my mother, treating her allergies Linus Pauling style, overdosed on vitamin C and blew out her kidneys. My grandmother took massive vitamin B supplements in the late 60s, and the hair around her white hairline turned dark again. I grew up with the nutritional theories of Adele Davis, both right and wrong, and food yeast. I usually chose whole grains. I usually didn't drink caffeine. I believe in nutrition, organics, and local sustainably farmed food. I believe to some extent in supplementation. And I loved being on a special diet. I loved not having to choose what to eat for a while. At my biweekly office visits, Bob read my pulses and energetic pathways with an electric dermal reader that he touched to the joints of my fingers and toes while his assistant laid hands on the affected areas, pancreas, stomach, liver, and bile ducts, descending colon, spleen. When the meter on his machine showed blockages or microbial activity, he pounded on my back while I counted backwards from 30. Then he tested me again. "There, that's better," he said. I brought in food samples to test for sensitivity. He placed them on a metal plate attached to his machine and tested my pulses while I held a metal bar in my hand. To desensitize the food, he pounded on my back while I held the samples, and his assistant touched me, shaping her other hand into yoga mudras. At home, I compulsively Googled each element of his treatment. The diet made some sense to me, but the rest? Quackery, bogus! And for some of the supplements, potentially dangerous. Fun fact, too much colloidal silver can cause a condition called argyria, in which the skin turns permanently blue. But I kept on, the skeptic in me warring with the part of me that deeply desired magic. I was fascinated by the complexity of Bob's system, especially his obvious belief in it. The vials and charts in his office, the whirs and dials of his special machine. His program touched the part of me weary of being a responsible, rational mother. How I longed for a universe where miracle cures were possible, where our world's terrible politics and environmental realities weren't happening. And at least the nutritional elements made sense. If he was right about that, couldn't he be right about the rest? My friend Sale remembers this episode well. During that time, she reminds me, I went to her house for a festive dinner of some sort. During dinner, I thoroughly described my treatment plan and the doctor. At some point, I was describing my symptoms, and her daughter Alonza suggested that I have a nice cup of tea. To which I said, "Oh, honey, I can't drink tea." Alonza's response, "I hate that man." I love that girl. Meanwhile, I lost 12 pounds. My stomach stopped hurting. I felt fantastic. Men stared at me on the street. Then I began feeling my ribs. I got calf cramps. I felt weak hiking with the dog. I was very, very hungry. And I began to cry. I cried when Bill and Annie had juicy steak and my hard-boiled egg, my first protein in 2 days, wouldn't peel right. I sobbed the night I insisted my family eat takeout sushi while I soaked my lettuce and cucumber in filtered water and grapefruit seed extract so I could make vegetable juice. I nearly cried the night I made Annie pasta sauce from heirloom tomatoes and basil from my garden and I didn't even taste a bite. Bill and Annie harvested the garden. The apples on our apple tree ripened and fell. Bob tested my household products on his metal plate, my cosmetics and toothpaste, my detergent and window cleaner. "You are extremely chemically sensitive," he said, handing my samples to the assistant to put on a far table in the office. "Your microbes are fighting back. You won't get anywhere until you eliminate all the chemicals in your environment to reduce your toxic load. Clean everything with borax or 3% hydrogen peroxide. No oils or chemicals on your body. Wash only with Castile soap." I felt my gut clench in rebellion. Yes, we do live in a toxic environment, I thought, and I will work on it. But I know myself, and I am not extremely chemically sensitive. Question authority, my radical family taught me. They meant the medical establishment, but maybe it applied to Bob and his ilk as well. I had trouble clearing my mind and counting backwards from 30 when Bob pounded on my back that day. 30, 29, bullshit, I thought. Smoke and mirrors. 26, 25, what the hell am I doing here? Later that day, I bought natural citrus counter cleaner and chemical-free toothpaste. But take away Annie's nail polish and deodorant? Make Bill shave with Castile soap? I wasn't about to go all Howard Hughes on them. Motherhood and mental health are about flexibility, and on Bob's program, flexibility was just not happening. I began to get stressed at the thought of going back to see Bob, and my intestines started to act up again. Compounding my stress was the front page of the newspaper, the ice caps melting, genocide, rapes, starvation in Darfur, the world dying on our watch. So I listened to my gut. "Fuck my microbes," my gut said. The day before my next appointment with Bob, I called and canceled. "I've decided that the program is not for me," I said to his answering machine. My stomach immediately relaxed. I was elated. That night, I ate dry organic whole wheat toast with slices of avocado, heirloom tomatoes from my garden, and a splash of lemon. It was divine. Once I began again following my heart and palate, I couldn't stop eating. Not vast quantities, but flavors. 2 slices of sharp cheddar, sushi, French toast, dim sum, dark chocolate. After 56 days of quinoa, each element I put in my mouth was complex and satisfying, thrilling and evocative, and scary. I'd forgotten a little how to eat normally. Eating was like taking a new lover or a longed-for voyage to a much-loved exotic location. And my digestive system was fine. I found tremendous freedom in trusting my gut. Either that or Bob's program had cured me. I wanted my daughter to have a mother who seized life, not one who lived in a bubble and gaunt, browsed through the produce section wearing a mask over her mouth. Life was too short to take unnecessary risks, but too short to avoid risk, too. I promised myself I'd still eat leafy greens and quinoa, avoid extra sugar and processed foods, but bring on the creamery butter and Parmesan cheese. Bring on the Freestone peaches. Come on, microbes. Let's eat. Licking the bowl. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's metaphorical. Always, it's delicious. Bob's extreme woo-woo witch doctor regime taught me that total dietary restriction will never work for me. But it actually didn't teach me to shun quinoa. I still like it quite a bit. So quinoa, which is spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A, is an ancient Andean grain. It's a complete protein source, and it's super high in essential amino acids. It's also gluten-free, alkalizing, and very tasty. And after years of fame in the healthy, crunchy granola, yoga, and spirituality Northern California community, quinoa hit the big time a few years ago and became a national craze, available in giant bags at Costco, etc. At that point, so much quinoa was being eaten and imported that the prices went up so high in Peru that the traditional quinoa eaters, that would be the people who live there, couldn't afford it and were going hungry. That meant that quinoa now became a non-PC food item. I believe the furor has calmed down a bit and there's a little more equilibrium. We can eat quinoa again. At any rate, to prepare quinoa, it's basically a grain. It's a 2-for-1 preparation. 1 cup quinoa, 2 cups water. Couple of hints. 1 hint, get the larger tan-colored quinoa, not the red stuff or the tiny stuff. It just doesn't taste as good. And 2, rinse your quinoa really well to remove the bitterness. I put a cup of it in a strainer, rinse it well, and drain while I boil 2 cups of water. 3, once you put the quinoa in boiling water, reduce it to a simmer. Cook it at 20 minutes covered without checking it. Now it's done, And now you can make delicious things with it, like my quinoa beets and beet green recipe, which is at the website, lickingthebowl.com, along with all the other recipes that are ever featured on this podcast. Hey, we're out of time. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. This is Erica reminding you to lick the bowl. Don't forget to lick the bowl, baby. And trust your gut.